This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
And the Norris Trophy goes to Mark Giordano.
Jerome McGinley's mom, 500 goals.
Up the center, coming in as Lowe. Gildyke center net.
Lurie gets it again. That's the shot they score.
Hey, hockey fans. Let's play one outside on the Canadian prairie. It is time for a little outdoor hockey in Regina, one of my favorite towns in Canada to visit. I don't know if you've ever been to Regina, but it is it's a lot of fun. I was lucky enough to attend the Memorial Cup there. Real fun. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood. It's time to talk a little Calgary Flames hockey. So what do we think of the Flames right now? 5-5-1 after 11 games. I think I saw it on Twitter about 35 times that's the exact record we had last year. Again, for us to pull off the feat of having the same record and being in the same position we were headed into the playoffs last year, I would bet a lot of money we will not be able to do that. And I'm not trying to sound negative. I'm just being realistic here. We went on a pretty solid run last year. Is the team capable of doing it? Yeah. For sure. I really believe we are. Just mathematically, I just don't know that we're going to be able to roll the dice, have injury-free, get Gaudreau, Monahan, and some of the other problems we have going now, all going standard of the cap. We have a new problem that we didn't have last year. We can't even call up guys and send guys down like we want because we got cap troubles. Now, we're not the only team, but it's going to play a role. It's going to play a role in how this season works out. I like the effort against Washington the other night. I didn't think it was great. Didn't think it was horrible. I'm just a little worried about the Florida game on Thursday night. I know Calgary's leaving right away after the game, heading out to Regina, practice on later Friday, I believe, and then play the Heritage Classic. That's exciting. That's awesome. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun for the players. I just hope we don't forget the Florida game before, because that game just got a whole lot more important. We need to stay above 500. We need to start winning some hockey games. We need to start gaining some points, because the longer we struggle to move up in the Pacific, the harder it's going to get. It just is. Good show today. We're going to go through some recaps, talk about the Heritage Classic. We're going to run down fixing the Flames. I got a couple ideas for some lines. Just my input. We've been switching lines about every 4 minutes, so I've got my 2 cents on that. And we're going to take a little trip around the National Hockey League, talk about some pretty neat news going on in the league, have a fan question, and then preview the Florida game, and of course, that Heritage Classic Winnipeg game.
NHL news, opinions, and controversy.
All right, Washington rolled into Calgary on Tuesday night, October 22nd, and once again left Calgary with another 2 points. You kind of struggle with Washington, probably because they're a damn good hockey team, huh? Makes sense. I didn't think we were bad. 5-3 was the final. Washington's first 2 goals were fluky as can be. Both I pin on Talbot. The first one, I really don't know what Talbot was doing there. I don't know how he missed that. He looked like he was moving off his post. I don't know. It just, that was just a goofy looking goal. And I'm not ripping on Talbot. I think Talbot's been good this year. I don't have any problems with him. Second one, I thought we had Mike Smith in net. He was back there playing the puck. Completely misplayed it. Comes out front. Lucky bounce off Anderson into the back of the net. Flames fought back, though. Lindholm gets a goal. Nice one. Zarnik, both of them on the power play. We're 2-2. Things are like, sweet. I was like, all right, so we need it. We're back. 10 seconds later, we're back for. Mangiapane turns it over off the faceoff. Ovi walks around Hanifin. I don't know. I'm not sure what Hanifin was doing there. And Ovechkin scores. It's killer. It's killer goal. Just zapped all of the energy out of the Flames. I thought in the third they looked slow. I didn't say they weren't trying. I said I think they look slow. It's been a brutal schedule so far for the Flames. And I'm not looking for excuses. I'm not going to be one of those guys that comes up with 80 reasons why his team is not winning the games they should. But I thought the Flames looked a little tired and slow. Positive players for the game. I liked Zarnik again. I liked him a lot. I also thought that Gaudreau had a little bit more of a jump in his step. Didn't equate to anything on the scoreboard, but I didn't think he looked too bad. A lot of people are saying about how Monahan's been a little bit more aggressive and how he's taken a step in the right direction there. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I saw a little bit of him being angry on, what night was it, Sunday night against Anaheim. I don't know. Not seen it yet. He's one of my favorite players. Just not seen it yet. Hope I'm just missing it, and I hope it just keeps progressing and Monahan turns a leaf on the season and starts producing and becomes a little bit more physical of a player. Negatives that night, I was not happy with Mangiapane. I just wasn't. And I know there's 50 million fans for him, and I am a fan. I like him. I just didn't see it on Tuesday night. Just didn't see it. Another one, Talbot. He was great in Anaheim. Earned a spot to get to start. But I don't know. I didn't think he was that good. First two goals were his fault. So I guess my point is valid on that one. I thought he struggled. As a whole, though, 5-3 loss. I didn't think we were horrible. I didn't think we were great. But let's see how they do against Florida tomorrow night. And I don't know. I'm not down on this team yet, but I'm starting to get a little bit worried.
Inside Edge Hockey News, bringing you inside the game.
Let's talk fixing the Flames. So all of you that have listened twice a week, thank you. You know what? Get interactive, though. Tweet me, man. Get on Facebook. Tell me if you like or don't like something. I want to know. If you're something, I'm a part of the show you want me to add, something you want me to talk about, you want my opinion on, let me know, man. I want interaction from the fans. But tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about fixing the Flames. I don't think we're a bad team, and I don't want people to start getting on my case about, oh, you're always negative, you're always negative. Well, I'm a little frustrated because, honestly, I had pretty damn high expectations of this team. When I look at our roster and I look at our depth charts, I am not seeing the production from key guys that we need to see. I mean, if I said to you as a Flames fan, are you 100% happy with the play of Tkachuk, Monahan, and Gaudreau right now? And you said yes, I think you'd be a delusional fan. I think they've all had their moments. I thought Gaudreau was good to start the year. I thought Tkachuk had a flash in there in the middle. I thought Monahan was better in the beginning. I don't think they've been horrendous. But in the National Hockey League, your superstars need to be the guys that produce, right? They need to be the guys that get you to the top of the standings. And right now, that's not what's happening in Calgary. So, a couple ideas, man. There were some ideas on what I would do if I was Bill Peters. First off, I'm a huge Bill Peters fan. I like him. I know it's talked about as one of his strengths is being able to read who's going and who's not going. And he shuffles lines. Now, call me old-fashioned. I'm not a line shuffler. When I coached, I would tweak lines, but for the most part, once I found connections, I kind of rolled with them. And I let those players gel and work together. Because I think the longer you play with somebody, now you can't force crappy situations, but the longer you play with somebody, the more things start to work better. More confidence you get, you just feel more comfortable. We need, one of the things we've been complaining and bitching about all year in Calgary is consistency. Well, maybe we need a little consistency with our lines too. So I got some line options that I would love to see. I would like my first line to be Monahan down the middle, Gaudreau and Tkachuk on the wings. Now, most of you are like, what the heck? You're the biggest Lindholm fan in the world. Why are you moving him off the first line? Well, because I think Lindholm is so damn good that he's going to give us something else. And I'll talk about that when I name off the third line. Now, the second line, I'd have Backlund, who I think has been really good this year, centering a line with Bennett on the and Dubé. Now you're going to say, well, wait a second. Dylan Dubé is playing for Stockton, and he's been okay in Stockton, but not great. Well, I think it's time to inject some new blood into this team. Last year we had Anderson as a new blood. We had Valimaki. We had, Mangiapane coming up. We had new blood. Those young players push the other guys. Maybe we need some sparks. Maybe we need a Dylan Dubé up. So I like the line of Bennett, Backlund, and Dubé. My third line, there's where Lindholm comes in. I want to try him at center. And I would love to see Zarnik and Mangiapane on his wings. Zarnik's really, really impressed me here in the last week, 2 weeks. He's really impressed me. And Mangiapane was good, and then he got hurt. Wasn't impressed on Tuesday, but you know what? He's coming off an injury. Got to cut the guy some slack there, huh? Right? I think that gives you three very strong lines that can give you some good offense. And I don't think they're bad defensively even. Strong down the middle with Monahan, Backlund, Lindholm. When I read off the fourth line, you're going to be like, they're strong all the way down the middle. Because on the fourth line, I would have Derek Ryan centering Michael Frolik and then a swap between Lucic and Reeder depending on the opponent. I think we are barking up the wrong tree if we keep slotting Lucic out there every single game. I'm not a Lucic fan, but I'm not going to rip on him because we got him. So here's the deal. We've got him, and he's not going anywhere. So we need to utilize him, but we need to utilize him in situations when we need him. We don't need Lucic every single game. He's slow and been ineffective. I know he's been better the last couple of games, but still he's not bringing to the table what he needs to. And I don't think that he's physically possible of that anymore, so I'm not even going to get on him. He's too slow for today's hockey. So, you flip-flop Reeder and Lucic in and out of the lineup based off who our opponent is and if you need that tough factor. Makes sense to me. Now, on the back end, I like, you know, we all say we want Anderson and Giordano together because Anderson's so good and he deserves those minutes. You know he does. But we got to build a team right now that's going to win. And so what I think you need to do is you need to have Giordano Brody stay as a pair. Hamonic, Hanifin, don't ever break them up. Anderson, Stone on the back end there. And you bring Shillington into the play. Now, I don't want Shillington sitting on the bench all the time or up in the press box all the time. So you flip-flop Shillington and Stone depending on who the situation when you need them to play, what opponent you're playing. And now everybody's saying, okay, wait a second now, Brad. You got Shillington and Reeder both in the press box. That doesn't fit under the cap. Well, it does because I left out a guy. His name's Jankowski. Something's going to happen. I've been a fan of this guy for years, but he is just not showing it to me. I like Ryan centering that fourth line better. So what you do with Jankowski is you try to move him. And you say, well, wait a second. You were just talking in the previous episode that nobody has any cap room. Well, they don't, but there is a few teams that would have 1.675 that are looking for a center, like maybe Ottawa. They come to mind first. So you do your best to move him. You know what? If you get nothing, you just give him up. I know that sounds crazy. But in today's world, like, what are you going to do? You need cap relief right now. We need $1.675 million free more than we need Jankowski. Sorry, I'm probably upsetting some people with that. But we need some cap room. We just need to be able to have some guys up. Some guys where you can fluctuate into the lineup. And I'm sorry. I think having Dylan Dubé up is bringing more to the table than Jankowski is. So if you have to put this guy in waivers and lose him, I don't know. This is 2020 in the National Hockey League. This stuff's going to happen. Calgary is not the only team that's going to lose players for nothing because you can't afford them. It's the way of the league now. And I think we're going to see more and more of it. What points scare me about my lineup there? Quite honestly, on the back end, Brody scares me a little bit. But you know what? You can't get rid of Brody right now because no one will take that salary on because only 8 teams could afford to take that salary on. So I do think Brody can have his good moments. And I thought Brody was really good from November on of last year. I do. I know some people argue with me on that, but I think he was good. This year, I thought he was great the first 3 or 4 games, and I think he struggled the last 4. Brody is a professional. He's fine with Giordano, and he's going to be fine. I love Anderson. Will Anderson be a frontline defenseman for the Calgary Flames? You darn right he will be. But I like him right now with Stone or Shillington. And you know what? I like both those guys. And what that gives us a little bit of leeway because injuries are going to happen. You have Stone and Shillington. Boy, that's a luxury a lot of teams would kill to have. You know what? Don't forget, Valimaki will be back. I don't know when, but he will be back. And boy, then what does that do to our defense? Pretty damn good. We need to see how these forward lines will operate, and I just don't think you can have Lucic in every night. So I think him flipping out with Reeder is a ticket there. Figure out a way. We got to clear Jankowski. We need to clear that 1.675 to have just a little bit of leeway. We cannot strap ourselves so hard with the cap that we're just locked up. It's not good.
Every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
All right, let's talk Heritage Classic. Pretty pumped for this game, actually. You know what? I'm not an outdoor game guy. I'm going to be honest. Kind of pumped because my team's finally playing in it. Usually it's the Blackhawks and the Bruins every single time. So it's going to be fun to watch the Flames play. You know what the coolest part of this whole Heritage Classic is? That it's in Regina. This is a huge, huge hockey area. I mean, this is the prairies of Canada. It's going to be awesome. Mosaic Stadium, very nice place. Great place to go watch a sporting event. Positives for the outdoor game. The mystique of playing outside at night is going to be awesome. I love the jerseys both teams are wearing. Might be the coolest thing of this whole game. And I like the matchup with the Jets. The Jets are one of my favorite teams to watch. Not just because this year they're lacking defensively and it's been high scoring wild games, which is pretty damn cool, but they are my team, and I think I said it in one of the previous episodes, if the Flames didn't exist, I'd be a Jets fan. I think the Jets are a dynamic offensive team. Dynamic. Just very, very good. Shifley and Wheeler. Oh, man. Liney. I like Liney. I get mad at his style of play once in a while, but I like the guy. This is going to be cool. It's going to be really, really cool outside. Now, the negatives. I worry about the weather instability, and that's the case at any outdoor game. Sounds like it's going to be good in Regina. If you've ever been to an outdoor game, it's different than going to a game in an NHL arena. Now, we're spoiled in our NHL arenas. They are very, very accommodating, temperature-wise, and sightline-wise. When you go to a football game, you feel like you're a long ways away from the field. Now you put a hockey rink in the middle of a football field, now you're really, really a long ways away. So if you're going as a fan, it's going to be a blast because of all the fun stuff going around the game, outside before the game. Just it's kind of a party atmosphere. But it's going to be a little harder to see. It's a little harder to watch on TV too. But there's a positive to that too. Kind of, I talked about that as the mystique of playing outside, and it's something different. So that's kind of cool. Now, Winnipeg played a Heritage Classic, I believe. It was 2 years ago against Edmonton in Winnipeg. And Calgary played one. Was it 2011? I think it was 2011. And that one was in Calgary at McMahon Stadium. Calgary beat Montreal in that one 4-0. So you ask, how many players on that team who have played outside are playing in this one? Well, it's not many guys. And gals, it's two. Giordano and Backlund. That's it. Everybody else has fluctuated through. Winnipeg is obviously going to have a lot more players that have played outside because they just did it. So, is that a benefit? No, I don't know. I don't think so. It was damn cold that night in Calgary, though. It was like 4 below Celsius. It was cold. So, predictions for the night. I think it's going to be low scoring. No, watch, it'll be 6-5. I just hope that I don't want to make a prediction. What the hell am I doing? Making a prediction. So how about we just predict that? Let's get Calgary back on track against Florida and win two games this weekend and get 4 points and put us right back up into that Pacific race. How does that sound, Calgary Flames fans? How does that sound?
Every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
All right, it's our weekly segment on Wednesday nights where we talk a little bit about around the league. And we'll roll into a fan question, preview this weekend's games, and get you out of here. NHL stories that I think are pretty darn cool. Carter Hutton, Buffalo goaltender. Come on, everybody wrote him off last year, and I was a fan. The guy's on fire. This guy is on fire. 5-0-0 at home, the Sabres are. Hutton's been unstoppable. He's got a win streak of 6 games, a 1.65 goals against average, 9.43 save percentage, 2 shutouts in those 6 wins. This is too shy of a record for the longest winning streak of a goalie in Buffalo history. Ryan Miller had that in 06. He was good back then, wasn't he? I don't know. I got a soft spot for this guy. I'm cheering for him. I think Carter Hutton's a good goalie, and I'm cheering for Buffalo to not be a flash in the pan like they were last year. They got our hopes up. They got Buffalo's hopes up, and then it just went gonzo. Let's talk coach. Paul Maurice. Ironic, because that's who we play Saturday night. He's going for, or he has just earned his 700th regular season win in the National Hockey League. That's seventh in the history. That's quite a milestone. I like what he's done in Winnipeg. You know, Winnipeg's kind of a neat story. I mean, Cheveldayoff has just stayed the course. You mean he just stays the course. And bringing in Paul Maurice, when they brought him in, they just took off. I mean, they started winning right away, and he's been a good coach for them. He's a great, great interview to watch after games, too. I love his sense of humor. And then let's talk John Carlson, and we got to see him on Tuesday night here in Calgary. And, man, has he been on fire. He sits atop the league in scoring. 5 goals, 15 assists, 20 points. It's 3 more than Pasternak, more than McDavid. This guy's on fire. I laughed so hard the other night, too, because he was scoring goals that, like, he had no business. Like, he was even laughing. Like he's got the luck right now going that, I don't know. He's definitely a Norris favorite right now, and to get to 20 points that quick to start the year is crazy. Puts him up there in the record books with Bobby Orr and Paul Coffey. Like, how do you get any better than that, huh? John Carlson, good story in Washington. Let's roll on to the fan question here. And this question was posed to me, and you got to believe me on this one. I have no reason to lie to you anyways, so don't tweet me and say I'm a liar. But this question was posed to me on Tuesday morning. Good question, too. By Scott Schmitz from Calgary. And his question was via tweet. He messaged me and said, all right, who would you start in net tonight, Cam Talbot, or would you go back? Would you give Cam Talbot a second start after playing so well against Anaheim? Or would you go back to Riddick and, you know, put him back in that starter net and then, you know, swap out Talbot as needed? I don't know if there's a right or wrong decision in this. Immediately after the Anaheim game, I said, let's go back to Riddick. And I loved the way Talbot was in Anaheim. Honestly, he stole us 2 points in that game. He did. And I'm a Talbot fan, and I he's going to be an integral part of this team this year. But I would have went back to Riddick. I know everybody's like, wow, it's easy to say now. We lost. And Talbot let in 2 bad ones. My gut just said, Riddick's your man. Let's go. And then I probably would have put Talbot against Florida Thursday night and had Riddick rested and ready for Saturday night. Because I got a feeling that's who we're going to see Saturday night is Riddick. That would have been my plan. But like all of you are thinking, yeah, it's easy to say now after a loss. Thanks for the great question, though. Now let's talk game previews. 2 games to preview. First one, we'll talk a little bit longer than the second one because we've talked quite a bit about that Heritage Classic game that happens Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada, the late game. Boy, is that an action-packed Saturday night on Hockey Night in Canada. Toronto, Montreal to start the night. Poof. It'll be a good night. Thursday night, though, let's not get ahead of ourselves. October 24th, Florida heads into Calgary. Florida coming off a 4-2 win Tuesday at home against Pittsburgh. Now, Florida was one of the teams that I thought this year was, you know, everything was in place for them to break out. Quenneville in it, coach. I mean, just everything pointed for a successful year for the Florida Panthers. Well, it hasn't started off the way they wanted to. Struggled on defense a little bit. They averaged 3.44 goals against, which is 22nd. In the National Hockey League, goal scoring, they're ranked 10th in the league. Not too bad. Last year, though, everybody claimed, okay, hey, Florida's a playoff team if they get goaltending. So what'd they do in the offseason? They went out, got Bobrovsky and gave the farm to get him. It's going to be their goaltender savior, new head coach in Quinville. Can you get any better than that? But still no results. Bobrovsky struggled out of the gate. My gut tells me they're going to get it figured out. I hope it's not the curse of bad hockey in Florida that holds them back. Players to watch on Thursday night. How do you not put Alexander Barkov on there? I think he is one of the best players in the league. If this guy was in Toronto, we would be so sick of hearing about him. God, if he was in Edmonton, we'd be sick of hearing about him. 8 assists on the year for Barkov. I'm interested to watch him and see how he does against our Calgary Flames. For Calgary, Sean Monahan. Everyone's been talking about Monahan, saying that he's been better since the Anaheim game. He's been more engaged, played with a little bit more grit, a little bit more physical. Now, Sean Monahan's always been a good center for the Calgary Flames. Never been the most physical guy. He's actually one of my favorite. I have a Monahan autographed jersey hanging right behind me in the studio here. I love the guy. He's a good player. Funny guy, kind of a dry sense of humor. But I've just been disappointed with the way he was in the playoffs last year and the way he started this year. I hope I'm missing it and not overlooking something, and I hope everybody else on Twitter and everything is right and that they're seeing steps in the last couple games with him being more aggressive and he's about to break out. So Sean Monahan's my guy Thursday night to watch. Saturday night, we've talked about it all episode. Mosaic Stadium, Regina, Saskatchewan, Heritage Classic. Not much more to say besides it is just a privilege to be able to have a team, have our team having a game outside. Going to be great fun to watch. Guys to watch. I'm going goaltenders. I think this is going to be a low scoring game. I just do. Hellebuck, 2.38 goals against average. Is he getting back to form? After some struggles last year, is he going to get back to that elite goaltender status? I'm looking forward to watching him. Riddick should get the nod for Calgary. Been impressed with him. He's had a couple stinkers this year. He was atrocious in Vegas. But as a whole, been very, very good, as Talbot has too. Goaltending, not the problem in Calgary this year. Everybody's like, all year, yep, goaltending's going to be the demise of the Calgary Flames. And, you know, it's kind of funny because it hasn't at all been the demise of the Flames. Goaltending has been just fine. The Flames take it outside onto the prairie. It'll be fun Saturday night. But don't forget, we need 2 points against Florida, for gosh sakes. Two critical, critical points.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter, at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page, at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter, at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
Flames fans, there's all kinds of excitement going on there. Over at the penalty box, Jim Poplitsky and Tim Hunter not dressed tonight and going down McGinnis. They've got their sweats on and the Calgary Flames have won the Stanley Cup! We're the winners! We're the winners! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.